Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the LiveTiles First Quarter Investor Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Carl Redenbach, CEO and Co-founder. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi everybody. It's Carl Redenbach, the CEO based normally in New York. I'm actually in Los Angeles today, but I've got on the line joining from New York our President Dan Dieffendorf of LiveTiles and also Rowan Wilkie, who's our Chief Financial Officer based in Melbourne. So we've got a cast across the globe, literally. So what we thought we'd do today, and this is our first of, I suppose, quarterly update call, and we're very keen to continue these update calls every quarter from this point, and really give you a quick overview of our Q1 highlights, how we're on track to hit our $100 million ARR target that we've put out to the market. We're going to talk a bit about the internet market, what internet software is, the $13 billion market opportunity, and how LiveTiles, in a really short amount of time, a bit over 4 years, have become the number one leader, the global leader, by four times bigger than any competitor in the internet software market, and what that means. And then we're going to finish it up briefly just looking at some benchmark data. How's LiveTiles performed today? And we've got some interesting data which looks at the performance of Atlassian, Xero, Salesforce, some of those really top-named software as a service companies. And the great news is that LiveTiles is growing as fast as those, sometimes faster than some of those companies. We're spending efficient, and most importantly, our market opportunity is really large. But before I throw it over to Dan Dieffendorf, he'll give us a bit of a Q1 and a Q2 update. At a very high level, our 30 September numbers have come on just under $43 million of annualized recurring revenue, which is 131% up on the year. We have 952 paying customers. I'm here in LA. We've got many household names like Disney and Universal, Miramax, Viacom. We can go through literally category after category now and name four or five top-tier names, the household names that you'll know out of those 952 customers. And we've got customers all around the globe. A large part of that market is in the U.S. The next market, biggest market, is out of Europe. And we see those as huge markets and huge opportunities. We have 185 transacting partners. Again, for a company that's a bit over 4 years old, it's pretty amazing that we've got partners now that are dedicating their businesses to LiveTiles. That's what they're selling. We've got people all across the globe in the U.K., in the U.S., literally in many regions and countries across the world that are selling LiveTiles. And that's really exciting for us. And what is also really exciting is about how our average customer contract is up 37% year-on-year. So now it's up to $45,000. We think that's going to continue to grow. I talk about that $13 billion market opportunity, which I'll come back to. That's on our current $45,000 average. We think that average is going to go up. And we've seen the likes of Salesforce and other successful SaaS companies where it's constantly gone up as a market matures and as the company matures as well. So we're excited about that. Our Q2 is going great guns. We're out of the gates fast. We're very excited about our pipeline. You may have read in the newspaper, I think the Sydney Morning Herald over the weekend, that Microsoft just won a major, close to $15 billion contract. It's 15 B with a billion contract with the U.S. Defense Department. For those that don't know, LiveTiles already has, in our short existence, signed up to the U.S. Marines. We've signed up to the U.K. Ministry of Defense. We also have the U.S. State Department as a customer. And what's great about, I think, the Microsoft U.S. Defense contract, that is a ridiculously huge opportunity for LiveTiles. We have been going through a process of what's called a government service agreement over the last couple of years. It's not a slow, unfortunately, it's not a fast process in enterprise sales, but the great news is that we're near the end of that government service agreement process, and that will allow us to tap into that Microsoft opportunity. And I think it just confirms that really Microsoft is really the key cloud player in the market. So that's an exciting opportunity for us. And look, I won't sort of steal Dan Dieffendorf's thunder, but our bundling package with Wisdom is going extremely well. All our results in Q1 are in line with our targets that we've set for ourselves over the next 24 months, and you were excited about getting to that $100 million number and really then going onto true scale, which I'll come back and talk about the market opportunity. But having said all that, I'm going to ask Daniel Diekendorf, who's based in New York there, to give us his update on the quarter and where we're going. So over to you, Dan.
Great. Thanks, Carl. Appreciate it. Nice to speak with everyone tonight, tomorrow or this morning as well. So I want to give a color around a couple of different things that are happening within the field operations globally with us. So at the fiscal start, we did some alignments to bring all of our sales and account management together globally. That's predominantly across three zones. That's the Americas zone, Europe, and the Middle East, as well as Australia and APAC. That was a big move for us to make sure that we had one global sales excellence strategy. And really what that's helped us do over the last few months was accelerate our partner forward thinking. So we've had a partner program in place for, since the beginning, but we're really doubling down on this Microsoft Connected Partner Channel, which what we think is a nice three-legged stool option to have Microsoft supporting their partners, not supporting our partners build IP across the globe in specific verticals as well as geographies where we want to operate. The key thing around bringing together these teams and talking more partner-forward thinking is we've been able to bring the solutions to market that we've acquired as well as our core solutions. So we've married together, as Carl said, the bundling approach with our core Lighthouse platform, Wisdom, as well as HyperFish. And it's created a multi-dimensional opportunity for businesses that want to build practices or their entire business around revenue streams that are recurring in nature and also bringing strong value statements to the customers as well. So it's been a very sticky play for our partners, and we see that growing. We're seeing that also resonate in terms of the pipeline and the number of references that we're getting. We've also got a big focus coming up here towards the beginning of next week. We're co-presenting with Microsoft at their annual Global Customer Conference, Ignite. I'll be on stage there with some other folks talking about Microsoft Teams and the opportunity there. For those of you that may or may not know, we do have multiple solution approaches to Microsoft Teams that go towards on one side, the provisioning and governance around Microsoft Teams that helps activate the solution, and then ongoing security and training and user experience layers that help customers deploy the Teams in a secure manner. That's a huge opportunity for us. It's also a huge opportunity for our partners across the globe to do that. And we're also seeing quite a strong opportunity across certain verticals, as Carl mentioned. We are working through the final stages of the GSA certification and approval process. We expect that to be complete here in the next 90 to 120 days, which will make a lot of the Lighthouse solutions easily purchasable across government contracts as well, and parlaying into Microsoft's opportunity with the JEDI project that they just won. So all in all, lots of opportunity. We feel really good about how we exited Q1 from a pipeline growth perspective. And being Q4 and budget cycles here in the U.S. and the rest of the world, we're seeing a lot of activity with the pipeline and the deal progression. So I'll stop there, Carl. I think I'll pass it over to Rowan for a financial update from here.
Thanks, Dan, and good morning, everyone. In relation to the financial highlights from our 4C release this morning, I won't go over the ARR updates that Carl and Dan have just given. But in respect of our customer cash receipts, that's a really pleasing highlight as we continue to convert our annualized recurring revenue into cash. That was the fourth consecutive record quarter for us, and certainly an improvement in the first quarter on the fourth quarter is something we didn't see last year. So that was certainly a pleasing indicator. Combined with that, we also recorded our fifth consecutive quarter of net operating cash flow improvement. Within that, we had a $3.8 million R&D tax incentive received during Q1, and just a reminder that we're continuing to seek an additional $3.2 million relating to FY19. Our underlying OPEX of $16.4 million was slightly above our guidance of $15.9 million. The non-operating OPEX that we called out related to some discontinued salary and contractor costs, some legal costs and costs relating to our capital raising. We took some steps around our cost base towards the end of the first quarter. We continue to look hard at our cost base and efficiencies that we can make. As we pursue a growth strategy, we're still looking very hard at our cost base. And in terms of how we see Q2 on that same basis, we've put out guidance for gross cash operating expenses of $16.2 million, and that reflects those recent cost measures, some we have in train, and some modest underlying growth in the company's cost base. We'll continue to add to cost as we see revenue growth, although we're very pleased with shareholder support, and the cash balance is now $56.9 million at 30 September after having raised $50 million in an institutional placement. In addition to that, post-quarter end, we received $5 million under the retail share purchase plan. But certainly in terms of how we see our cost base in relation to revenue growth, we're being very measured in terms of how we add to that cost base. With that, I might head back to you, Carl.
Great, and thank you, Rowan. So look, what I might do, and we're keen to sort of open up to Q&A, but before we do that, I just might just remind, since there might be some people on the call that don't know really what we do in any detail, so I thought I might just briefly explain the market and what LiveTiles does, and then really talk about what, to me, excites me about how do we benchmark ourselves against others, particularly the fastest ever growing SaaS companies, and you could argue probably some of the most successful companies in the world right now. So, and the great news is we stack up well. So firstly, we did release a presentation, a PowerPoint deck that hopefully you've been looking at on the ASX. But in particular, I'm looking at slide 6 here and slide 7, which actually describes really the market opportunity for internet software. And really, to explain really what internet software means, for the last 20 or 30 years, small, medium, and large companies have really custom-coded and built their own intranet from scratch. And for those that don't know what an intranet is, that's an internal employee. So it's inside the firewalls, inside a company's business, where it might contain policies and procedures. You can search for employees, corporate news. And really what we're doing a couple of things. Firstly, we're making it so you don't have to use code to develop that. And we've got this intranet software platform that installs in minutes, and it's an amazing tool which cuts out a lot of coding. But then we're adding all of these value-added components to it. So we're making it much more useful. So as an example, we bring in other applications like Salesforce, like Atlassian, interestingly enough, into one single pane of glass rather than having to go to 15 different systems. And we're really simplifying it for end users. We often get called, we bring that Apple experience into these other products to really simplify it. That love that you have for your Apple iPhone is what we give to our business users. And that's how we've been able to get literally the biggest names on earth, some of Microsoft's largest customers, which are the largest companies on earth, using our software in such a short amount of time, because we bring that user experience, et cetera. With wisdom, we've been able to add to it and bring some really detailed compliance and content management and microservices that add a whole lot of functions and features that we didn't have. And with Hyperfish, we've been able to extend the employee first people experience. So we think our product set is really revolutionary. We're certainly the first in this market. And if we look at our ACV and the market opportunity of 300,000 Microsoft customers, and we've got close to 1,000, that's it, very, very small percentage, less than 0.3% of that market so far, we see it as a huge, huge market opportunity, and it is literally just being started. And so if you go to the next page, which is slide number 7, you'll see a snapshot, two big pie charts. The pie chart on the left really looks at what is this internet software market today? And we say there's around about 3,000 customers using internet software in their organization. 3 or 4 years ago, there was no one. So we actually created the category, which is exciting for LiveTiles. And right now, we are 4 times larger than anyone else. So we are the number one internet software player in the world. And we think this market is going to exponentially grow. And we're seeing it through our results, which we'll talk about in our benchmark in a minute. But importantly, it is 1%. If we look at that market, there is 299,000 customers more to go. And we think our ACV, particularly with our artificial intelligence, our bots product, our intelligence layer, which is really understanding what employees do or do not do at work, and really we're trying to revolutionize how people work, particularly in medium and large organisations, how they collaborate and share information, and we're trying to make these intranets much more higher value. We're really trying to reshape and reimagine what an intranet is, which was typically a boring, something was not updated and not seen as high value. We're changing that in businesses, and we're doing it really rapidly. So the last thing, we'll throw it over to Q&A in literally just a minute, but I would thought we have a really interesting slide that I think epitomises, I think, what we've done today and particularly where we're going to be going over the next 2 or 3 years. And it looks at, it's on page 8, and it's basically a growth benchmarking statistic which looks at years from 0 years down the bottom to 10 years from when the companies went essentially from launching their products to where they got to $100 million in annualised recurring revenue, and that's US dollars. Interestingly, LiveTiles today is a bit over 4 years old, so we're still very new when it comes to this market. So if you put LiveTiles into the bottom of that chart, right now we're at four years old. Having said that, if you look at our forecast and particularly what we've been able to do in a really short amount of time and our triple-digit growth rate, which has been pretty consistent, and obviously our forecast is less than that, the 58% year-on-year growth rate. We know that it's not realistic to grow triple digits forever, because no one's done it. So from our perspective, we benchmark ourselves very well. And if you look at the likes of Atlassian, you can make an argument that they're probably one of the best, if not the best company out of Australia in the last 20 years, maybe in the last lifetime. And, whatever they are now, $45 billion market cap. And they're not that old as a company, and they've had annualized recurring revenue. It's the same. We play in the same space as them. We sell into enterprise customers. We sell recurring revenues, and it comes in and it keeps growing. And we've been able to do that. We look at zero. We look like they've done it in about eight or so, under 8 years. And Salesforce. And the great news is we plot LiveTiles out, and if you look at the forecast we put to market, we're on that chart somewhere. And in fact, you could argue that we're growing faster than an Atlassian or a Xero based on our current growth rates. And to me, that's exciting. That's why I think we're performing extremely well and why we are one of the fastest ever growing SaaS companies. And interestingly enough, nearly all of those companies, interestingly enough, not Xero and not Salesforce, nearly all of them are making losses today. And I would argue that we're actually spending more efficiently than those companies, certainly some of them, and on our growth rates. And, obviously their valuations are all double digits, some of them high double digits, which is interesting, right? So from my perspective, we benchmark extremely well, and we obviously see there's a huge market opportunity for us over the next 2 to 3 years just to get to that 100, and we think we're going to accelerate well beyond that. One of the reasons that sort of Rowan is building right now in the business is a scalable business that gets us not $100 million of ARR, it gets us well beyond it. We've got our eyes set on how do we get to the billion-dollar ARR mark, and how do we do that quickly? How do we do what category creators like Atlassian, like Salesforce, when they created their own categories and they started markets, how do we follow their trajectory? And that's what we're doing, and I think we're doing an extremely, extremely good job of it. So from that perspective, we could not be happier, and we think we're on to something. And maybe just to wrap up, really, we see there's a huge market opportunity for us. As Dan mentioned, we've got a great pipeline. Our Microsoft relationships are stronger than ever. And, last but not least, our growth rates have been fantastic. We're going to keep those going. So having said all that, I might actually throw it back to the presenter. I think we've got about 2 minutes or so for Q&A, and happy to answer any questions from anybody. So I'll throw it back to the presenter if that's okay.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. And if you're on a speakerphone today, please pick up the handset before asking your question. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question today comes from Siraj Ahmed with Citi. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Carly, Daniel and Rowan. Just a few questions from me. Maybe if you could start off with first quarter 20. You did mention that it was in line with the expectations, but can you give us an update on how it went at a product level? The Praise Designer versus Wisdom versus Bots, etc.
Yeah. So I might give you a quick update. I might actually get Dan Diekendorf to put some comments in as well. So one of the things that, for those that are not aware, we acquired a company called Wisdom in February, and last year in about July, we acquired a company called Hyperfish. I mentioned what they do. They're very broad enterprise product suites. They both play with inside, although Hyperfish is more on the people directory, certainly Wisdom plays with inside the intranet software platform market. And really, the challenge for us when we acquired that company, we brought to market in April what we called a bundled solution. And this bundled solution is really trying to provide a broad encompassing what we call intelligent workplace. It's more than intranet. It's much more higher value, and it allows companies and organizations from a full service perspective to bring all their information and collaboration together. That has had a huge amount of success in the market. We knew as well, particularly going with partners and bundling that solution. That solution was only there in April. For those that don't know, Q1 in enterprise sales, essentially in the US, it's about a 20-day sales quarter. Typically July and August are dead months, certainly in Europe as well, if they're slower months. And even if you look at, say, a Microsoft as an example, you know, a lot of their revenues are done in Q4, certainly not Q1. And that's, it's not spread out evenly, 25, 25, 25. It's more like 14, you know, 25, 35, 30. So depending on how you break that up. So we did bundle the solutions together. We've had a huge wrap in market today. But Dan, do you want to just put your comments on it? Because you're actually on the coalface there dealing with customers and partners.
Yeah, so Q1 isn't ramping. I think, Carl, what I would add is, you know, right now we've got a lot of the bundled solutions that have come together in over the last quarter and a half. And while we're sort of doubling down on our partner enablement strategy, getting the folks in the market sort of outside of Europe where, certainly out of Denmark where Wisdom operates, so that's sort of the rest of Europe, all of America, all of Asia Pacific. Getting them trained up on the solutions. It just takes some effort, but it's also built a lot of momentum and faith in the depth of the offering that we can bring. So we've seen good pull-through on that throughout the first quarter, and now we're seeing a lot of that realized through the sales cycles here in Q2.
Dan, are
Sure. And Carl, just confirming, you didn't see any increased churn in the first quarter, did you? And it's just, as you said, it's just a seasonally weak quarter for sales. So this one confirming there's no increased churn?
No.
Okay. And just so going to the outlook and clearly the focus on the pipelines changing towards, for the channels changing to the partners. You said you mentioned second quarter is off to a very strong start, but I did notice that you only added 7 new enterprise partners or selling partners. Is this the focus on resetting the partners? Is that why there are only 7 more partners in the first quarter?
Yes, certainly, and I might get Rowan or Dan to just comment on that. Our strategy has been, we have a much broader solution than we had even a year ago. Certainly Wisdom and Hyperfish has added, and plus our development, particularly in artificial intelligence, and adding those components in. It is a more complex product. It is a much bigger product. We know customers are going to spend more money with us, particularly leading up to Q2 and Q4 with our typical large end sale periods. So from that perspective, it does require more time and effort, as Dan mentioned, for training, and certainly more effort to get them up to speed. But Rowan, you might have some extra comments on even the last two questions as well.
Yeah, just on the partner question, Siraj, that's the number of partners that have transacted. So that's 178 at 30 June and 185 at 30 September. That compares to our onboarded base of partners of literally hundreds around the world in each region. We don't need, in terms of numbers, we don't need net new partners in terms of number. What we need are partners that are building a thriving, not just viable, LiveTiles practice. Wisdom is a bit of a game changer for us there, and I might hand over to Dan just to talk about how he's thinking about partner portfolio and Wisdom.
Yeah, thanks, Rowan. So I would echo those statements as well. Right now, we have, in terms of a quantum, we have enough partners. We really have decided to formalize and brand our enablement strategy, everything from training to go-to-market support. and utilizing Microsoft's resources in their partner channel and what they call P2P or partner to partner. So we look for partners that broadly get strong support from Microsoft within their partner program, and we look at it right now largely on a geographic basis. So a lot of our partners have a specific geographic focus. The next iteration of that, and we're starting to roll this out here in a couple of weeks, we've got some partners we've onboarded now around specific verticals. You may have read about the frontline worker dilemma that Microsoft is solving for, so we've got some tech and some solutions around that, and we've got some partners that are, by example, very retail focused in their practices or their businesses. So we're building very industry level approaches to how we support them and help them tackle their audiences. So it is an evolution, obviously, and it does take some investment and time, but it's also a philosophy that we've adopted, and we feel quite good about the feedback that we're getting from partners as well as Microsoft in the approach.
Sure. And just last one from me. So looking at your FY21 or June 21 target of 100 mil, you sort of need to hit an 8 million ARR per quarter run rate. I guess it's early days on the partner channel development, but would it be just think about phasing and how we should think about incremental ARR going forward? Would 2Q be too early to see a material improvement, or just how we should be thinking about it?
I might handle that, Siraj. Just in terms of quarterly mix and FY20, we haven't provided guidance. We don't provide guidance by quarter, and we haven't provided ARR guidance for FY20. I know that's somewhat challenging, but I know that most shareholders have given us feedback and understand that we're aiming for that $100 million medium-term target by 30 June 2021. Given we were at $40 million at 30 June 2019, the mix of dollar growth will be largest in FY21 and not FY20. In terms of quarterly mix for FY20, based on the strategy that Carl and Dan and the team are leading in respect of partners, our bundles, we expect that momentum to build during the financial year. Unfortunately, I can't give you a sense of, you know, the breakdown of dollars or the breakdown of percentage mix quarter by quarter or FY20 versus FY21. But certainly that's the, I guess that's the shape of growth as we see it.
Sure. And Rowan, just confirming again, 3Q or the March quarter would be seasonally the weakest, right? Even though you said momentum.
Yeah. So based on history in terms of looking at, the breakdown of, FY17, 18, 19, ARR, ads for the company. Yes, correct. Q1 and Q3 have been the softer quarters, if I can put it that way. And Q2 and Q4 have historically been the strongest. That matches up seasonally with what Carl spoke to in terms of enterprise sales and enterprise sales mix. And so, yeah, that has an influence, but we certainly, you know, have aspirations to grow in each quarter.
Great. Thanks. I'll just jump off the line.
Yep, no problem.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Justin Scott with Lemagear Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, Carl. A fairly straightforward question. In terms of the various layers of your pipeline that you're looking at now, is your pipeline larger, the same, or smaller than it was in, or rather, at September 2019? How does it compare to September 2018? That's part one of my question. And my second part is, how has your win rate been in terms of, for every 10 in the pipeline, has your win rate remain the same, decreased a little bit last quarter, or, you know, so I guess I'm asking, looking at this last quarter, how much of it was just closings that didn't arrive in that quarter, and how much of it was a win rate down a little bit or a pipeline down a little bit, or is the pipeline stronger than it was a year ago?
Yeah, so I'll try to answer the first question first, which is essentially our pipeline is exponentially larger. We haven't released a number on it, but it's much larger than what it was last year. It's growing with the average contract value of our deals and our pipeline or our proposals that are growing, particularly because we have three products that are, and actually more like four with our AI products that are in there now that we didn't have a year ago, that are really much broader and bulkier and a much higher value to customers that we had, you know, back a year ago. So from that perspective, the deal's much greater. Conversely, and as you see, for example, that Microsoft Jedi contract, you know, that is many, many years of work. That's not 18 or 2 years worth work. That's sort of 3 to 4 plus years of work for Microsoft to win that contract. I know I've worked with the defense guys here directly, and they've actually helped us with our GSA, the Microsoft guys, and we know how hard, and if you want to win large contracts, how long they can take in enterprise sales, particularly when you're selling across the whole enterprise, which is what we're able to do. We've obviously announced some previous great wins like Novartis, et cetera, which are great volume wins in the previous quarters. Typically, in the 20-day sales month, you don't really see those being closed. And the good news is we're certainly not losing any deals, and our win rates are staying the same. There's no loss rates happening. There's no more losses, if that makes sense. But the deal cycles are certainly taking a little longer than we'd like, because one, we're selling bigger deals. We're also involving more partners, and that just takes a little time. And our in-market bundle only went in April, which is only, you know, sort of 6 months ago, 7 months ago, and that's not much time in enterprise software as a service, especially when you're selling to the largest companies. So yeah, from that perspective, you know, we're very happy with how we're positioned, particularly the very large size deals. We're very happy with the win rate ratio, which is effectively the same. We don't think that's changed, but it's the sales cycles are longer, if that makes any sense. And so, yeah, we're very happy with that, with both of the progress of both of those items. Right. So I'm not sure, Rowan, or if there's any further questions. I know we're past the half an hour, but I may ask the presenter. If not, we're happy to sort of wrap up as well.
Yeah, there are no further questions at this time.
Great. All right. Well, I think I might just wrap up the call. Thank you, everyone, for joining it. As we said, we're excited about what we're doing in FY 20 and 21 beyond. We think there's a huge opportunity for us. As I said, our benchmarking, we feel confident about that. We feel that we're really set up for a great Q2 and beyond. And, yeah, thank you very much for joining us. And as I did mention, we will be doing one of these calls after every quarterly result to keep you informed and have you take any questions as we go along. So thank you very much. And have a great day. And Dan, thank you for your evening late there in New York. And have a great day there in the evening. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.